Hello, this is Charles Johnston. In response to current social political craziness, each couple months I'll be doing a podcast that attempts to address a current hot button issue from above the partisan fray, from a mature systemic perspective. Doing so feels like an important responsibility as part of my cultural psychiatrist futurist role. The first such podcast addresses a current front page news concern of special interest to me as a physician that I first wrote about 30 years ago, the healthcare delivery crisis. I've titled this piece, Healthcare Reform as Political Crazymaker. As Republicans take on redoing healthcare reform, it is hard not to chuckle. I would were the likely results of the effort not so unfortunate. But my focus here is not whether a new plan could be of benefit, but rather the curious inability of politicians to fully recognize the complexities that any effort to address healthcare delivery necessarily confronts, being that much in those complexities reflects more general challenges new to our time, we can learn a lot by reflecting on them. In recent decades, politicians of both the left and the right have treated healthcare reform as low-hanging fruit. They've assumed that answers were generally straightforward and that people would be broadly grateful for their efforts. At the beginning of her husband's administration, Hillary Clinton quickly found that neither was the case. Barack Obama succeeded in passing some very limited legislation, but in the process used up a major portion of his political capital, I suspect much more than he anticipated. And today, Republicans propose tearing up that legislation and again starting from scratch. As with previous efforts, they will likely discover not low-hanging fruit, but conundrums that leave them the ones hanging. I think of three factors that make the healthcare delivery challenge much more complex than people assume. The first is the fact that healthcare is not ultimately an economic commodity. In the end, it is a moral commodity. If some people in a society make more money than others, that may be unfortunate, but it is part of the price we pay if we want a free market economy. But if certain people have ample health care and others have the bare minimum or none at all, that is a moral conundrum and possibly a moral tragedy. And it is not just those who suffer who become less as a consequence, but ultimately all of us. The second factor is also moral, but here we confront a more specific moral quandary. I've written extensively about how addressing the healthcare delivery crisis will require a maturity in our relationship to death that we have not before now been capable of. The reason is not complicated. Healthcare costs are spiraling uncontrollably with no obvious end in sight. It is easy to ascribe blame, but what we see is for the most part a product of modern medicine's great success. Early innovations like penicillin and sterile technique were cheap. Each new generation of advances gets more expensive. Both liberals and conservatives react to the word rationing as if it reflects some ultimate evil. But if we are to stop spiraling costs, eventually we must limit health care. And not just care that is of questionable value, but care that is of real benefit. That means, in effect, choosing who will live and who will die. I've proposed that in time the healthcare delivery crisis will make other death-related conundrums like abortion and assisted suicide look like child's play. The third factor that makes addressing healthcare delivery more complex than we might think is our current highly polarized political climate. Extreme polarization too often results in dangerously short-sighted decisions. At the least, we become vulnerable to bashing decisions based more on ideology than thoughtful consideration. Worse, very often we see decisions driven by little more than the need to feel that our favorite side has won. Liberals today tend to idealize the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. While I think the ACA is a positive achievement, I also see it as a minor one, not at all some final solution. It addresses access to care, but only for about half of the people who before lacked it. And in spite of its name, it does little of substance to address health care costs. Liberals should also remember that the model for much of the ADA was a Republican plan, the program Mitt Romney instituted in Massachusetts. Now Republicans want their own plan. From what I have heard thus far, they have only the most limited appreciation for the complexities involved, yet most want to move forward as quickly as possible. Their desire for something different is based in part on differing values. But I suspect the motivation behind these efforts is as much the need simply to have a plan with their name on it. They should be wary what they wish for. Notice that with none of these three kinds of complexity did I touch on the more obvious complexities that the better of political planners generally do recognize. I didn't mention the complexly interwoven and often conflicting needs of hospitals, insurance companies, drug makers, and healthcare professionals. Neither did I mention the inherently unpopular economic reality that if we are to have greater access to care, we have to pay for it, either through new taxes or through mandates that force healthy people to buy insurance. And on top of these additional complexities, any significant change effort also faces the major transition costs involved in tearing down one relatively workable system and replacing it with another. When we look at the big picture, we see that it is wholly predictable that the healthcare delivery crisis would prove a political minefield. We also see that the factors that have made the healthcare delivery question so crazy-making can only get worse. Republicans today risk taking ownership in a ticking time bomb. Likely their safest strategy, if they were thinking only politically, would be to leave the ACA in place. It is only a matter of time until it becomes too expensive to tolerate, not because of flaws in the program, but because of circumstances that would confront any program. I think of the healthcare delivery crisis as a key example of a phenomena we see increasingly in all parts of our lives. Challenges require new levels of human maturity. Successfully addressing it will demand greater moral maturity. It will also demand a mature acceptance of social and political complexities that before now would have overwhelmed us to contemplate. The best approach for politicians who want to provide real leadership going forward would be to reopen the healthcare delivery conversation in a way that includes all the complexities I have described. Few people are yet ready for what doing so asks of us, so this is not likely to happen soon. But reflecting deeply on what this critical cultural challenge will ultimately demand is becoming increasingly essential.